Well, in the meantime, we are turning to the Epistle of James, chapter 3. James, chapter 3 this morning. Special thanks to Dave Nars, who was leading worship on my right-hand side. Dave and his wife Debbie were with us a few years back when we were at the Residence Inn down on Cook Street when this fellowship started. And also Anita Gonzalez on this side, Becky and Roman's daughter. Where's Becky and Roman? There they are, right there. Okay. So our worship folks are away for Father's Day or on vacation, whatever. And so Debbie, Anita, and Eddie did worship for us here this morning. So praise the Lord. James 3. This morning we're in verses 13 through 17. Wisdom above, from above, or below. There's two types of wisdom, as we will see here this morning. Every person is in this room is wise in one way or another. And God's going to narrow it down here this morning and show us where our wisdom comes from. But what we have here this morning is a room full of wise guys, wise gals. And so we're going to look into God's Word, and He's going to show us what type of wisdom is the all-important one. Verse 13, James 3, this is what the Word of the Lord says. Who is wise and understanding among you? Speaking to the church. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Boy, isn't that the truth. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Holy Father, we thank you for your word, which is truth. Every crossed T, every dotted I, is given by the inspiration of God, Lord. This morning we pray that not only would our Bibles be open, but so would our hearts. So that this would not just be another Bible study or a church service, but Lord, that we would desire another life-changing experience. Lord, you desire to change our lives. We can't change ourselves. So I pray in Jesus' name and through the power of your Holy Spirit that you would speak to your people, to your children, to your flock here this morning. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive your word, which is alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, that we would receive that good seed planted within good soil. No rocks, no weeds, no hardness. So, Lord, that we might bear much fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the past few weeks, James has given us an inside look at the tongue, the lengua. You think that cow tongue in the meat market looks ugly. Get the CDs from a couple weeks ago. Boy, the tongue, the human tongue, that little member, as I often refer to as the most dangerous member in the church, can be used in an ugly manner. With it, James said, we can bless God. And with it, we can curse man who was made in his image. My brethren, it shouldn't be so. It really shouldn't be so. This morning, we're going to take it a step further. We're going to look at wisdom. Look at the billions of dollars that are spent year in and year out with people all over the world trying to gain wisdom. Scripture says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And you can spend all the money you want. You can have more degrees than the thermometer. But if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have heavenly wisdom. You've got nothing but demonic wisdom from below. That's a heavy one. You can take a little child, first, second, third grade, that knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they are wiser than the atheist that has all of the degrees under the sun. And it's true. Why? Not because Pastor Joe says so, but because the word of the Lord says so. His word is truth. Over the past few weeks, James has given us his inside look at the tongue. A lot is revealed by the tongue. What is usually the first thing a doctor asks you to do when you visit his office? Say, ah. And then he puts that wooden thing on your tongue called a tongue depressor. I think there are many people I know that should permanently have that tongue depressor on their tongue. Matter of fact, I think it was Jack that had the tongue depressors with a scripture verse on it, wasn't it? Or somebody did in our men's Bible study. Lynn, okay. I knew somebody did. Thanks, Steve. But just as the tongue reveals one's health in many ways physically, it also is a great revealer of that person spiritually. It's the tongue that's that great tattletaler. We've talked about a tattletaler over the past few weeks. The tongue tattles on every one of us. The tongue is the most evil member in this body. In verses 13 to 18 this morning, we now go from the words of the tongue to the wisdom which is found in these words. And if there's anyone that should be speaking with wisdom, it should be God's children, would you say? Because this epistle is written to the brethren and the sisters, if you would, in the body of Christ, who have first of all been born from above, filled with the Holy Spirit, received love from above, and along with that, we should have wisdom from above. And so this morning, we are going to look very convictingly again at James and what he has to say about wisdom. Why? Because that tongue, that evil member at times, it can be blessing God and then turn right around and curse. Peter was a wonderful example of that. Now, when he had said to Christ, "You are the Son, the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, Peter." And then Jesus talked about going to the cross, how the Son of Man must go and suffer and die and be raised again on the third day. And Peter says, "Not so, Lord." That's an oxymoron. "Not so" and "Lord" should not be linked together. And it was then that Jesus turned right around and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You talk about going from a mountaintop experience with the Lord. Hallelujah, praise God. And all of a sudden, he calls you Satan. Wow, that'd check you right up, wouldn't it? And it just shows the ability that we have, even as Christians, God's children, to use that same member to bless and to curse. It has the ability of speaking forth godly wisdom. You ever have somebody say that as a Christian? You can't take any credit for it. Someone will say, "Man, where did you get that? That was profound." And I usually say, "That was from my dad in his book." I can take no credit for it. It's true, isn't it? We can say something just simply profound, yet profoundly simple, and then turn right around and say something pretty stupid. We can go from godly wisdom to, as it says here, earthly, sensual, demonic wisdom. We can go from wisdom which is above to wisdom below, heavenly wisdom to hellish wisdom. You may be sitting here this morning and, "Wow, Pastor Joe, I had no idea that there was more than one type of wisdom in the world." Well, we're going to take a look at both of them. There are two types. And when you look at this, you go, "Wow, James is a real wise guy." And yes, God desires all of us to be wise guys in the proper manner, to have wisdom from above. Why? All true wisdom comes from God and God alone. Every good and perfect gift, every good and perfect thing comes down from God in heaven. We saw back in chapter 1. In 1:5, James wrote, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God." You want wisdom? Ask God for wisdom. That means that we as Christians have to pray. And that means that we as Christians need to spend time in God's Word. If you're not spending time in God's Word, and if you're not spending time talking to God and listening back, guess what? You're not going to have a whole lot of heavenly wisdom in your life. There's no shortcut. There's no fast track. There's no osmosis to having heavenly wisdom. It takes effort. Paul uses the term agonizo, which means that we agonize. We pour over the Word of God, over the Scriptures. But your labor is not in vain when you pour over the Scriptures, because, man, what does it take to dig up gold or nuggets? It takes sweat, blood, sweat and tears sometimes to get those nuggets. And I'll tell you what, there are more nuggets in this book than we can even imagine. But you know what? The world out there, they could care less about wisdom, godly wisdom. If we were to advertise, Pastor Joe is going to do a series. And in this series, it's going to be a 3-week series on how you can play the lottery and win every time. I'll tell you what, we'd be going to 20 services, wouldn't we? Because that's the carnal desires out there. They'd be lined up. How sad it is that God gives you and I the words of eternal life. He gives us heavenly treasures that last eternity. And yet most people spend their time running after those things which are temporal, and in light of eternity, they don't mean anything. The Apostle Paul called them garbage, rubbish, dung. Where are our priorities today? In the Word of God or in the world out there? It is so important for us as end time believers, and I believe we're running down the stretch towards the finish line. And you know what? It's so important in these last days to know the counterfeit and the real thing. And the best way to know the counterfeit and the real thing is to get into the Word of God. You need to know God's truth. Why? Because Satan is a master deceiver, isn't he? Look at the tactics he uses, man. He couldn't defeat the church from the outside, so guess what? He became a church member. And he can't defeat the Word of God, so he comes up with his own Bible translations today. Do you know that there are Bible translations out there that are not given by the inspiration of God? They're bogus. They're called transliterations. There's a difference. This book is given by the inspiration of God. And what does man do? He takes it upon himself to write a watered-down translation. And we won't use man or woman anymore. We'll just use one name for both. No genders in this. And don't talk about the blood, and don't talk about the cross. And all. There are Bibles. I can't even say it's a Bible, but there are those that write what they consider a Bible. And it's blasphemy is what it is. There's much confusion in the church today in the area of wisdom. And that's why this is a warning. There's a purpose for James giving us this section of Scripture. We need to be warned, and pastors today need to sound the alarm, because there's major counterfeiting going on out there in the area of wisdom. That's why James, in verse 13, asks this question. He says, who? Who is wise? I guess that's why they say owls are wise, because they say who? Who? Anyway. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. 1 Corinthians 14:33 tells us that God is not the author of confusion. If there's any confusion going on, it is from the evil one, the deceiver, the one who goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. True wisdom comes from above. False wisdom comes from below. They are diametrically opposed. Poor Eve was deceived, wasn't she, in the garden? I hear many people say, well, man, if I was Eve or if I was Adam, I would never have made that mistake. Really? You see, when God created Adam and Eve, they were without sin. They were pure. And they used 100% of their brain. Today we are told that most people only use 10% of their brain or less. Some of us that have come out of the world have destroyed more brain cells than we desired. And We probably have a whole lot less even. So don't you think that you would make the same choice with your little 10% that Eve or Adam did? Absolutely. So don't point the finger at them. It was back in chapter 3 of Genesis that Satan convinced Eve, with demonic wisdom, by the way, that if she ate of the fruit of the tree, she would not die. You won't die. Satan says the same thing about sin today, doesn't he? Drugs, you won't die. Just a little bit. I started with a little bit. And a little bit of alcohol, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. A little bit leads to a lot, though, doesn't it? A lot. Then the next thing you know, hey, man, you're dying. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially. So who was right? God with what he said to Eve or Satan with what he said to Eve? How did it all turn out? Look around. We have this death march going on. Why? Because in Genesis chapter 4, the very next chapter, we had the first death in all of Scripture. It was Adam and Eve's son, killed by their other son. And then when we get to chapter 6, we have what is known as the death march. When people were living thousands of years and 900, 800, 700, 600, next thing you know, look today. People think it's a miracle if you live to be 100. Wow. So I would say that God says what he means and he means what he says. Wouldn't you? That's why we need wisdom from above. Which came to pass? Heavenly wisdom or hellish wisdom? Then we had a bunch of wise guys in Genesis chapter 11 on the plain of Shinar. Remember those guys? They were going to build a tower up to heaven, Babel. And so what did God do? He made them all babble, confused their language. Let us build a city whose top shall reach to heaven, and let us make a name for ourselves, they said. Have times changed? Google Dubai. Now they're building this huge, tall hotel in Dubai. And maybe God will confuse them too. The stories are endless. Ever since the garden, people have continued to believe Satan lies. And you know what? They've sought to become their own gods and to be wise in their own eyes. And it's true, isn't it? Look what's going on today. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, "For the wisdom of this world, that wisdom which is below, is but foolishness to God." That's why James challenges us here in the first verse, verse 13, "Where are the wise among you?" And this is a section of Scripture not to put you down, but to build you up and to challenge you and I to gain God's wisdom, which is more precious than silver and gold. And you know, if there's anybody that should be wise today, it should be God's child, the Christian. And if there's any place that there should be wisdom, it should be in the church, wouldn't you say? And the only way there's going to be wisdom in the church is when the word of the Lord is taught chapter by chapter, verse by verse, from Genesis 1:1 to the maps in the back, and then you start all over again. Why? Because the next time you get through, you're going to get more nuggets and go back and you're going to get more nuggets. And, you know, that's the word of the Lord. There's no other book that can do that. But yet, look at the books that people read. We not, as Christians, we not only eat junk food physically, but we are great for eating junk food spiritually. Some of the garbage books that I see Christians reading today, the Da Vinci Code, The Shack. The list is endless. You know, the sad thing about it, people think that, well, the Word of God is not enough. I've got to get something else. I've got to get this thrill or fix or whatever. Satan loves that because he puts that bait out there and he will hook you. Pretty tragic. Christian bookstores filled with books that are not given by the inspiration of God. 45 minutes in heaven. And guys making big bucks on that. But you know what? The Apostle Paul went to heaven, and Scripture tells us that he couldn't even write the things that he saw. So, well, who does this guy think he is writing about heaven? God even gave Paul a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. Another guy writes a book about going to hell. Lazarus and the rich man. Jesus told the rich man, even if someone would return from this place, people still wouldn't believe. So why would God bring somebody to hell for a visit? But yet people spend $20, $30, $40 reading this garbage stuff. Many people believe that the History Channel is the gospel. Grandma, what big eyes you have. I pray that the History Channel would become history because it's blasphemy. Not all of it. Say, oh, Pastor Joe, you're splitting hairs. Well, I'm not splitting hairs. Don't have any to split in the first place. But here's the deal. Rat poison's 98% food. And it's that 2% you've got to worry about. People today are into human philosophy, psychology. Many people put Sigmund Freud on the same level as Jesus Christ. They are diametrically opposed, folks. Why? Because Freud looks in and down. The gospel looks out and up. Diametrically opposed. Then we have relativism. We have academia. Ivy League schools in New England all started as seminaries. Now they're all cemeteries. God has no part in any of the major universities that were the foundation of this nation. Harvard, Dartmouth, been to them all. And they're all into academia. Our seminaries in America, for the most part, have become cemeteries. Dead. Ichabod, the spirit has departed. They spend more time trying to disprove the Word of God than believing what it says and going out and evangelizing the world. We have liberal theologians. We have false pastors in the pulpit, false teachers. We have false evangelists. We have TBN. That may shock some of you. Oh, man, pastor's picking on TBN now. False prophets on TBN. Prophet to them is P-R-O-F-I-T. The other night, Tina and I were watching. Some lady introduced all of her anointed guests. Three ladies were apostles. And then there were two prophetesses. I go, look at this, Tina. In order to be an apostle, you must have witnessed the resurrected Christ. Blasphemy. Phony baloney is what it is. And I don't mind exposing them. Why? Because it'll save you a lot of heartache when you turn that garbage off. The list is endless. I'm done. All right, you can relax now. My email address is in the bulletin. But you know what? Even the Apostle Paul was a brilliant man as an unbeliever. He studied under a man by the name of Gamaliel. Gamaliel said he could not keep Paul filled with enough books to read in his BC days. Yet when the Apostle Paul came to know Jesus Christ and had a personal relationship with him, this is what he wrote to the church at Philippi. Check this out. But what things were gained to me, all of his attainments and accolades, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ. That's what happens when you get born again, when you get saved. Formerly, you know the story. Paul was this self-righteous, arrogant Jew. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee, a tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the eighth day. The whole thing, his ministry was killing Christians. God made him eat dirt one day. Knocked him off his high horse. And it was when Jesus knocked him off his high horse on the road to Damascus, his life was transformed forever. The light went on. He would now go from earthly wisdom to heavenly wisdom because he knew the King. And it's evidenced, as we see in verse 13 there, this is the first two points that James gives us on the evidence of heavenly wisdom in your life and in mine. Notice what he says. Let him show by what? Good conduct. That's one evidence. The second is meekness of wisdom. Good conduct. What a novel idea for one that is born again and one that has heavenly wisdom. True wisdom is shown by good conduct. And what that means is that you have a lifestyle that exemplifies that you are born from above. There's got to be fruit in your life. Spiritual wisdom is evidenced by godly living. So what do we see overall in the church today as far as godly living? Do you see that evidenced? Do you see people living lives of good conduct in the church? I think if they'd start getting rid of the junk food, and begin growing up and getting off of the milk and getting into the meat and the manna, I think we would begin to see good conduct in the body of Christ. Secondly, James says, the evidence of heavenly wisdom is meekness of wisdom. And what that means is that the term meek in Greek is praoutes. It means power under control. You see, guys, it's not a burn for us to be called meek, because it is better for us to be a meek man and to have our lives under control with the power that God gives us from above than to be a weak man like we see in the world today that has all of this power in their lives and they can't control it. Look at these athletes that we see that are so disciplined physically on the court or on the baseball field or on the football field. But you know what? They go ballistic when they get off of the field. Why? Because they don't have power under control. They don't have heavenly wisdom in their lives. And that's what James is talking about here. Praoutes. The world is not meek or humble. The term meek is also humble. The world out there is wise in their own eyes and they're arrogant about it. It's like in your face. In your face is popular today, isn't it? It's like cool to be in your face. And so Paul has a lot to say about wisdom. As a matter of fact, put your ribbon here or your bulletin and turn left, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18. Christ, the power and wisdom of God. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. That's a heavy one, isn't it? But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. People mock Jesus, they laugh at him, they do sitcoms, they do blasphemous movies about him. But you know what? One day, man, you know that all roads lead to heaven, not to heaven, but all roads lead to God? Because every single person on the planet throughout the history of mankind will have to stand before God one day. All roads don't lead to heaven, but all roads do lead to God. And there's mockers and blasphemers, and they laugh at the cross. Oh, this blood stuff, this crown of thorns. Oh, you Christians, man, you get narrow-minded. Jesus said narrow is the way. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, check it out, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Guess what? Paul asked the same question James did. Where is the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. It's a simple message. It's a simply profound but profoundly simple message that God gives us that even a young child can understand. It's simple, isn't it? For Jews request a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, even to this very day, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. You see, God calls both Jews and Gentiles with a simple message. In this fellowship we have Messianic Jews, born-again Jews. We have born-again Gentiles. Because, verse 25, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Isn't that true? For you see, your calling, brethren, is that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Why? Because there are many today who think they're too smart for God, too strong for God. But the good news is this, he does call the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen, look at verse 27, the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. God uses weak, stupid, and foolish things to accomplish his purpose. We get to heaven, probably be blown away at what Samson looks like. Many think that Samson was probably the number one bodybuilder at God's gym. Today it's Gold's Gym. But I believe that since there's nothing shown in Scripture about his size or, you know, the size of his waist or biceps, whatever, that when we get to heaven, we'll probably see the scrawny little guy and go, "I am Samson," you know. That's the way God works. You know? Don't you think? Yeah. Why? Because God uses the weak things. He uses the foolish things to confound the wise. And the base things, 28 of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him, this is so cool, these last two verses, 30 and 31. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Would you say he's got all the bases covered for us? That it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So Paul had a lot to say about wisdom, didn't he? He really did. Back to James chapter 3. In verse 13, we see two characteristics that are mentioned by James, which are the godly ones. The wise and understanding are those who exhibit good conduct, and meekness. In contrast, and that's what I love about Scripture, is God always gives us the contrast. He shows us the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so in contrast, James describes that wisdom which comes from below, just in case you're wondering. You know, okay, we've talked a little bit. We've had two characteristics of heavenly. We'll come back, I'll give you about eight more. But in between those, James is going to give us a few here, and in the next few verses, verse 14 through 16, of those characteristics of earthly or sensual or demonic wisdom. Anybody interested? I think this is important to know. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, very clearly, but is earthly, sensual, demonic or satanic. For where envy and evil or self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Boy, are we not experiencing that? Look what humanistic wisdom has done to us as a nation and the rest of the world. And so here we see the difference between heavenly wisdom, north, ungodly wisdom, south, above, below, heaven, hell. And so the wisdom that we see here that is earthly and sensual and demonic is not from above. And we need to be warned of these things. What are the evidences of wisdom from below? He gives us two examples right there. Bitter envy and self-seeking. Whereas the life of the wise and the understanding man is characterized by good conduct and meekness. You see, again, the difference. They are opposite. And here we see the life of the worldly man is characterized by bitter envy and self-seeking, meaning that he's out for himself. Isn't that the philosophy today? It's a dog-eat-dog world out there, dog. And I'm out for number one. People are filled with selfish ambition and zeal. They feel no concern for others, no feelings. He seeks personal and self-fulfillment at any cost. I've heard it even said of those that climb the corporate ladder that the road to success is filled with bodies that they've walked over and taken down. Look out to anyone that gets in their way. These people are ruthless, jealous, proud, arrogant, and boastful. And this is the man that's driven by wisdom from below. Notice earthly. What does that mean, Pastor Joe? Epigaios is the term in Greek. It means fleshly or of this world, from below. And what that means is this type of a person with the earthly and sensual and demonic type of wisdom, this person has no place for the things of God. No place for the things of God. No place for truth, because they say that truth is relevant. I'm a self-made man. My philosophy is do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. Get them before they get you. Every man for himself is what it means to have earthly type of wisdom. Secondly, notice it says sensual. Psukeikos is what sensual means, fleshly. Psukeikos is where we get the term psychology from, believe it or not. It's all sensual. It's all about feelings. All of his feelings, his desires, his appetites, his standards and impulses are all of the flesh. There's nothing spiritual about anything that he does. If it feels good, do it. Thirdly, demonic. Term means satanic or devilish, which means the root source of all false wisdom is Satan himself. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's a thief. He's come to steal and to murder and destroy. And isn't it Satan that always promises something better? Didn't he do it to Eve? Chapter 3 of Genesis? Doesn't the devil always make people feel as though God's withholding something good from their life? Satan will make you feel as though God is just this great killjoy. He doesn't want anybody to have any fun. Look at all the fun the world's having out there. That's the way Satan works. And he starts with just a little bit. Just try a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You can handle it. I remember one time I got out of the military, went to school. One of the first classes I took had to do with human behavior. I brought a guy in that was consumed by drug and alcohol. And I'm into the party life then. And I looked at this guy in my heart and I'm saying, what a wimp, man. That guy's weak. That'll never happen to me. You know what happened to me? Consumed by it. Be very, very careful when you mock at sin. And don't think for one second that you can just get away with a little bit of sin and it won't consume you. Satan begins with little eye drops, thimblefuls, cupfuls, bucketfuls. And the next thing you know, the enemy comes in like a flood. Anybody relate to that? Been there, done that? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Satan always promises something better than God can give you. Isn't that the world? You've got to have this. You've got to drive that. You've got to live this lifestyle. Man. That's why I have such a hard time with these positive confession guys on TV. Reason you're not rich is because, brother, you don't have enough faith. How many happy rich people do you know? Satan says you'll be wise. You'll be like God. Didn't Shirley MacLaine say that? We are God. Out on a limb. Somebody saw it on the other end, though, for Shirley. She will surely stand before the Lord one day. They say, oh, abortion's okay. It's not a human life. It's just a mass of flesh. Today, the philosophy is it's okay to have a physical relationship with someone of your own sex. And we can even give them marriage rights. Today it's, you know, evolution instead of creation. It's more impressive to say fortuitous concurrences of accidental circumstances, evolution, rather than in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We spend millions and millions of dollars trying to find the age of the rocks. I'm more concerned with the rock of ages, Jesus Christ. Today they say the truth is within you. That's a lie. Man, how about this? You're a good person. I'll give you another one here that I have heard a number of times. God created marijuana. And I say, yeah, but when God cursed the earth, he made weeds. And so now you're putting cursed weeds in your face and setting them on fire. And now we have a governor that thinks that we can straighten the economy out in California by legalizing weed. Boy, won't that be great. I mentioned Wednesday night. If that happens, I'm going to open up a Krispy Kreme donut place next to every dispensary for when they get the munchies. I'm going to get rich off these people, man. That's demonic wisdom. When people say, well, we'll legalize lottery and casinos so we can help the schools. There are a lot of school teachers in this room. Any of you, raise your hand if these things have helped the schools. It doesn't. God never, ever, ever, and will never, ever bless sin. He will never do it. This is demonic wisdom. Confusion. Look at the confusion in the world today. Disorder of every evil thing. That's what James writes 2,000 years ago. Look at the disorder in the world today. We want to change. We got it. We've got confusion, every evil thing, James says. The term confusion means disarray, rebellion, anarchy. It means that we have war, fear, terrorism, crime, devastation. Human wisdom says, well, think good thoughts. It's going to get better. We just need to put more money into programs. We just need people like John Lennon to change our youth. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. That's strike two for John. I'll tell you what, John Lennon knows right now whether there's a heaven and hell or not. I guarantee you. He was the one that said to my generation that the Beatles were greater than God. I wonder if he's saying that now. James says, every evil thing is there too. Every evil thing, what does that mean? Original Greek. Let me give you the original Greek for every evil thing is there too. It means the broadest possible description of the bad results of human wisdom. Pas phaulos means every foul, wicked, evil, flawed thing is there. Man, do we not see that today? Every foul, vile, wicked, flawed thing is there. Evil is the worst, vile, contemptible state there is. And man bought into it. All because of human wisdom. For worldly wise people, here this morning, if you're caught up in the world and this is your home, it's looking pretty dismal, isn't it? I notice a few of you Christians are looking pretty sad right now. Bummer message, Pastor Joe, but no, it's going to get better. Because God always shows us the bad and the ugly before He shows us the good, doesn't He? First of all, I'd like to say, if you're caught up in the world and you don't know Jesus Christ, it's not too late to wise up. Just the very fact that you're here today, God loves you. He has you here for such a time as this, and He wants you to wise up. He wants you to have a personal relationship with Him. And then, from this day forth, you can be able to say, man, things are looking up. Christians, would you say things are looking up? This is so awesome that, you know, yeah, we see a lot of stuff falling apart and stuff, but God's Word says so. He warned us on exactly what's going to happen. But He also tells us the rest of the story. James 1:17, remember we were back there? He says that every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And so what's really cool for us as believers, and yes, we've seen the bad and the ugly, but is this not good? Listen to this. Philippians 3:20 says that our citizenship is in heaven. You may have a mortgage payment here, but you'll never own that place. Because when you croak, someone else is going to move right in, take over even a larger mortgage payment. That's the way it just works. But you know what? There's a place, according to John 14, waiting in heaven for you, that where He is, that you may be also. And you know what? That place will not be under the second law of thermodynamics. It will not be rotting and rusting and corroding. There'll be no chores in heaven, guys. You'll have a pad. We won't have to repair plumbing, roof, nothing. Man, that is going to be so cool because everything in heaven is perfect. But what we want to remind you of here is you're not home yet. And Philippians 3:20 says you are now citizens in heaven. Matthew 6:9, our Father is in heaven. You see, I told you things are looking up. Also, Ephesians 1, our inheritance is in heaven. An inheritance far beyond what we could ever, ever imagine. We judge things by the physical. We look at big homes and big cars, all the stuff in this world. Psh, dumb. This is all dumb. It all ends up in the landfill. It all ends up just corroding. The stuff that God has for us in heaven, we have no idea. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it even entered into the mind of man, those things that God has prepared for those who love him. How about Matthew 6:19? Our treasure is in heaven. How about John 14:7? Our home is in heaven. And also, as we see this morning, our hope is in heaven. But here's the question. What type of wisdom do you have? You have divine wisdom or do you have demonic wisdom? Do you have heavenly wisdom or do you have hellbound wisdom? There's only two choices. Herein lies Christian wisdom, according to Colossians 2:3. In Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Scripture also tells us that the Word of God is wisdom. The Scriptures make us wise unto salvation, 2 Timothy 3:15. So that wisdom is available and attainable for you and me, from the youngest believer to the senior saint. God wants to pour out his wisdom upon us, godly wisdom. God gives wisdom. That's what James says back in 1:5. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, what do? Let him ask of God. When's the last time you asked God for wisdom? That's what it means to pray. Ask him. I remember when I first got saved, I prayed for everything. Did you? Pull into a crowded parking lot. Lord, give me a parking spot. Bingo. Right there. Right in the front row. You know? I prayed about everything. And God would answer every one of my prayers. Now we're too cool, man. We're too mature to pray for those little things. So guess what we do? We go to the river to get an ice cream or something. We go round and round and round the parking lot. I can't find a parking spot. I don't know what's wrong. Did you ask of God? We need to start getting back to the simple, basic simplicities, if you would, of the Christian faith, the walk. Ask God for wisdom. Job change, buying a home. Ask God for wisdom. Whatever it may be. You know what? Include him in the equation. He knows. He knows what's best for you and for me. Here are six more, if you would. James 3, in verse 17, here are 6 to 8 more. I think probably more like 8 evidences of wisdom from above. He says, first of all, it's pure. Notice verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy. Remember the tongue back in the beginning of this chapter, full of poison? Well, look at this. Godly wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. What does it mean that his wisdom is pure? It means it's holy. God's wisdom is holy. It's pure. And when he says it's peaceable, that means you have peace in your heart when you get the wisdom of God. Oftentimes people say, Pastor Joe, how do I know if this is God's will or that's God's will? I say, number one, you'll have a peace in your heart. And then oftentimes he'll confirm it 2 or 3 witnesses. He'll confirm it with his word, a still small voice. All of a number of ways that God will confirm that this is his wisdom from above. He'll give you peace about it. We have peace with God and then we have the peace of God. It's also gentle, he says. And that term means the wisdom that is from God is gentle. It means sweet reasonableness. It's like velvet and steel is the example I've heard used before. Christians are steel and strong on the inside, but yet velvety soft on the outside. Velvet and steel. What a tremendous combination. Strength, but yet softness. Notice willing to yield. It means you're not stubborn. It means that you're easy to live with. Full of mercy. That means that we are filled with self-control. We are controlled by mercy. Mercy is getting what we don't deserve. Hallelujah. That's godly wisdom. Good fruits. Galatians 5:22 lists the fruit of the spirits. peace, joy, love, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control, all there for you. Galatians 5:22. That's wisdom from above. This wisdom, James says, is also without partiality. It doesn't compromise. It doesn't waver. We just don't cut and paste and pick and choose what we want to use between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. It's without partiality. And also notice the last thing that's mentioned there is without hypocrisy. It's not phony. Too many people out there playing the game. The term hypocrite is one who wore a mask or was a play actor on the stage of life. They would profess one thing and do another. And how sad it is that there are many today that are playing the game. Isn't it great to be saved now? You remember in school, middle school, high school, when you had to go along with the program, you had to, if you wanted to be cool, you had to dress a certain way, do a certain thing. Everybody wanted to be cool. And most of us, man, were just hiding behind this mask that wasn't us. And what I loved about the day that I came to know Jesus Christ, I knew the game was over. I knew I didn't have to play that anymore. Isn't it great to know that God loves us? He created us just the way we are, makes no mistakes, never says, oops. And now we can be all that God wants us to be. We don't have to play that phony Madison Avenue game anymore. The term also means without wax. In the time of Christ, there were guys that made pottery. And if a guy made this pot and there was a flaw or a crack in it, what they would do, the deceivers would take and put wax in it. Fill it all in with wax. And you'd buy this pot and take it home in the Coachella Valley with 110 degree weather outside. And what happens to the wax? It melteth, old King James. And the next thing you know, it's running down the side of the pot. And you go, man, I didn't see that flaw there when I bought the pot. But as believers, godly wisdom means that we are without wax. We're not fake. We're not phony. That's so important, isn't it? So which do you desire here this morning? Door A? Bitter envy? Self-seeking? Earthly? Sensual? Demonic? Or door B? Pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy. Good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. If you'd want door number one, I don't think you have a pulse. Something's wrong here. But door number two is the one we want, right? Would you all agree? Anybody here that doesn't want purity in their life, a peace in their life? Anybody here that doesn't want gentleness and all, mercy and all of those things? That's what God wants to give us. That's the godly wisdom that comes from above. It's your choice. It's your choice. The first thing that you need to choose from above, though, is God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Because you can't put the cart before the horse. You can't sit here as an unbeliever and ask God for wisdom. It doesn't work that way. You must be born again. And then when you are born again, that love from above comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. God fills you with his wisdom, his knowledge, and all these things. And it's just incredible what God does in our lives. So we receive forgiveness. We get born again. We get filled with the Holy Spirit. We get his wisdom. We get his love. How can you reject so great a salvation? It's foolishness, isn't it? To want what the world has to offer? Really. Man, a lot of us have been pretty beat up by this world, haven't we? Just trashed and thrashed and shredded by the world out there. Why would we want all of those other things, man? We need to wake up, don't we? That's why he says, hey, who's wise here? I hope we're all a bunch of wise guys when we leave this place. In a good way. That we would have God's wisdom in our lives. Notice verse 18. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And what he's saying there is good fruit bears more good fruit. How? By seeds. Apple seeds, orange seeds, watermelon seeds. Good fruit bears good seeds. Plant them, more fruit. And that's where it starts. Many of us planted bad seed out there, worldly seed, demonic, sensual type of seed, evil seed. But now we have a new crop coming up because of what Jesus Christ has done. Now we got all of the fruits of the Spirit coming up, peace that surpasses all understanding. It's been said if we sow a thought, we reap an action. Sow an action, we reap a habit.
Sow a habit, we reap a character. Sow a character, we reap a destiny. Door number one. Door number two. It's your choice. My question here this morning as we close is, who among you is wise in understanding? Love to give you the opportunity to receive that love from above, to receive that new life, to receive that godly wisdom. And if you would like to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, experience love like never before, forgiveness, be filled with His Spirit, His wisdom, His knowledge, His love. Turn from going south to going north, man, to make heaven your home. What I'd like you to do this morning is please stand as Jesus died publicly on a cross for you to atone for your sins. He said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. So if you would like to pray to receive Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all, and there's wisdom in this decision, believe me, I'd like you to stand quickly before we close. Anyway, today's the day of salvation. Let's pray. Got a bunch of wise guys here today, huh? So let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for your word. You love us so, Lord. You give us the truth. And it's the truth that sets us free. Thank you, Lord, for our brother James who writes these things to the beloved, to the body of Christ, to the believer. Thank you, Lord, that you tell us that if any of us ask for wisdom, to ask of you. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning that are struggling with decisions in life, that all of a sudden, Lord, the light would go on, that they would ask of you and that you would tell them, show them through your word, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Confirm it, Lord, I pray. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us wisdom that this world does not know. Godly wisdom from above. Thank you for this morning. Thanks for Dave. Thanks for Anita and Eddie leading us in worship. Thanks for those that come to serve so faithfully here. Thank you, Lord, for those that come so faithfully to fellowship with the body of Christ, to hear from you, Lord, to be grown up in the most holy faith, to gain wisdom and knowledge and insight. And also, Father, before we close, I just pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that we would have a love and a hunger for your word like never before in our whole Christian life. That we would turn off the television, the CD, the DVD, whatever it might be, and that we would seek you out, Lord, for wisdom, for knowledge, for direction. Forgive us, Lord, for not seeking first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. Because you tell us, and all these things will be added unto us if we seek you first. So I pray, Lord, for everyone here this morning, that we would even double the amount of time we spend in your word, in prayer and communication with you. And God, that you would fill us full of your wisdom, not in a prideful way, but in a meek and humble way. Thank you, Father, for saving us, for filling us, for equipping us, for using us, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.